I don't like that one.
No, I don't like that one either.
He fished in the folder and produced two more images. He set them down one at a time.
And I don't like that one of Lewis Briggs. Or this one of Matthew Dennison.
Petrie's gaze was aimed squarely over Logan's shoulder now, out through the window at the grey building beyond. The DCI leaned to the right, interrupting the view.
Look at them, Owen.
Petrie shook his head.
Look at their photos.
I don't want to.
Logan snatched the photographs up, one in each hand, holding them in front of Petrie.
We found Lewis. We found Matthew. Too late, aye. Far too late. But we found them. At least we could give their families that.
He set the pictures down and picked up the black and white image of Dylan Muir, holding it with almost reverential care as he gazed into the boy's wide, trusting eyes. For a while, Logan had imagined that they might find the boy alive. Somewhere. Somehow. Someday. But then, in a rare moment of lucidity, Petrie had finally confessed to his murder and shattered that dream. Just like he'd shattered so many others.
But we never found Dylan. You never let us give him back so we could give his family some sort of peace.
Petrie's mouth flapped open and closed. His eyes were glazed, and he had a look of a goldfish about him, staring out at the world from behind a wall of glass.
Cut that shite out!
He clicked his fingers up close in the other man's face. Petrie's eyelids fluttered, but he was looking through Logan now, staring at empty space.
Where is he, Petrie? Tell me what you did with him. Tell me where you left him. Tell me where to find him.
Across the table, Petrie's frown deepened, the wrinkles on his forehead furrowing into shadowy grooves. He remained like that for a good 10 seconds. Then he blinked. Once, twice, a hypnotist's patient coming out of a trance. His face relaxed. He looked at Logan and smiled vaguely, as if seeing him for the first time, but finding something familiar about him. Petrie's hand came up and idly traced the dent that had forever altered the shape of his skull, his fingertips following the line of his scar. Finally, he looked down at the spread of photographs of the smiling 3-year-old set out before him.
He looks nice.
He ran his fingers across one of the photographs and raised his eyes to meet Logan's.
Is he yours?
Logan couldn't stop himself. He lunged across the table and caught Petrie by the food-stained t-shirt. Petrie's vacant, not quite there smile remained fixed on his face. He didn't flinch. Not even when the DCI's other arm drew back, his fingers balling into a fist.
Mr. Logan!
The voice snapped Logan out of it, brought him back to his senses. He released his grip, but wasn't gentle about it. Petrie thudded back into the padding of the chair. Turning, Logan saw Dr. Ramesh holding the door open.
I think you've outstayed your welcome for one day. Mr. Petrie needs his rest.
The door squeaked as he opened it wider.
Don't make me ask you again.
Petrie's vague smile twitched as he watched Logan gather up his photographs and replace them in the folder.
I'll see you soon again, Owen.
The DCI said, a threat and a promise.
Maybe we'll jog your memory next time.
I'm sure we can arrange something through the proper channels. But for now, I'm afraid I must ask you to leave.
Tucking the folder under his arm, Logan made for the door. He stopped when he was level with the doctor, drawing himself up to his full height for maximum looming potential.
I'll be reporting this.
Good luck with that.
He was about to leave when Petrie called to him.
Sir, excuse me, sir.
Logan stopped, turned. The smile crept higher on Petrie's face. His voice was a whisper, the words tumbling freely from his mouth.
Say hello to the little boy for me.
This is The Litter of Bones,
a DCI Jack Logan thriller. Written by J.D. Kirk and produced by Be Here.